Hi folks, welcome to Coffee and Colossians on another beautiful day, Wednesday. I'm sitting here in the balcony, and recently you get a lot of smell of smoke because there's a lot of backburning going on preparing for the dry season and bushfires, and doubtless you'll soon be hearing that Australia is burning. As we've done most years, though, not the past couple of years. But we are still in this wonderful verse in Colossians, verse 10. We looked at Aristarchus last week, and then he goes on, "As does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, you've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." Well, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, is the writer of the second gospel, and he's sending his greetings as well. Now, he is a great example, whereas Aristarchus seems to be a prisoner who, a friend of Paul who stuck with him through thick and thin. Mark's story is a little bit different. And it's a great example, I think, of how you can have a fallout and yet that broken relationship can be restored. I think that's what happened here. Was it in Pride and Prejudice? Forgive me for citing my encyclopedic knowledge of Jane Austen, but Mr. Darcy says, "My opinion once lost is lost forever." Well, often in the Christian church, we find that there can be fallouts amongst friends, amongst brothers. Yesterday, we spoke about a band of brothers. I'm reading David Livingstone's biography just now, and as anyone who's been involved in mission work will know, or anyone who's been involved in church leadership will know, fallouts amongst the leadership are devastating, but they are not infrequent. And that's what happened with Mark. So let's just look at a couple of things as regards Mark. First of all, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, "When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying." So we know that John Mark, or Mark, was the cousin of Barnabas. His mother was Mary. But we also know that there was a fallout between Paul and Barnabas over this. So in Acts 15 and verse 36. "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work." Again, this is contrasting this with Aristarchus, who stuck with Paul through thick and thin. John Mark had deserted them. "They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So Barnabas, a son of encouragement, very nice man apparently, but I think in this the indication is from Luke that he was clearly wrong, that he wanted to take his cousin, and Paul was very wary of that. And so there was a wound. John Mark was not reliable. Now, this is 12 years earlier from Colossae. Sometimes wounds take time to heal, but this one did heal. So in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Mark is very useful to me for ministry." I think Mark had changed, and I wonder what caused it. I would suggest this: the teamwork, the encouragement of Barnabas, the severity of Paul, and the friendship of Peter all brought him closer to Jesus. I think you can fail and you can recover. Thank God. I think Mark recovered, learned, and became mature and useful. And that's why Paul here says this. Now, it may be that the incident with Barnabas and with Mark was well known in the church. And that's why he says, "You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." Paul wasn't instructing John Mark to come. He didn't know if he would. But he's saying to him, look, accept him, welcome him. Yeah, there had been trouble. Yes, there had been division. Yes, there had been a split. But accept him. I wonder how often you've seen that in a church. I think of one elder who left our church. In the huff would be wrong, but certainly in a dispute. And I remember years later, over a decade later, as long as this, I think, 12, 14, 15 years later, he came back. And we were reconciled. It was a wonderful thing. Maybe the scars remain a little bit, but I still think it is a great thing. So here again, we have another beautiful picture of the New Testament church, which is realistic. People fall out. Okay, there's a way to deal with this. And the fact that Paul is commending Mark after having fallen out with him and pretty well a big split in the church is, I think, beautiful, don't you? I don't know, are there people you need to be reconciled to? Who need to be reconciled to you? Well, my God, grant it so, because in this battle with the devil, he's going to disrupt us and cause us to divide, and our sins are going to cause difficulty and trouble. And we need to be as united as we possibly can without being unrealistic. Learning to forgive because we are forgiven. And learning to work together despite our differences. So, let me take this opportunity to say, if I've offended or hurt any one of you, I am deeply sorry about it. I don't mean to do that. And I'm saying, let's work together for the good of Christ's kingdom and the glory of Jesus. God bless you, and see you tomorrow, Thursday. Bye.